You're listening to PCJ Radio International, broadcasting to listeners in North America on 11880 kHz. Also to listeners in Port Moresby, Papua New Guinea on 101.9 FM. We're going to be beginning our broadcast at the bottom of the hour following our time signal. The program will be Focus Asia Pacific, followed by a live edition of Media Network Plus. This is PCJ Radio International, broadcasting from Taipei, Taiwan.
I'm Andy Sennett, and welcome to Focus Asia Pacific from PCJ Radio International. Cambodia's opposition says it's preparing to file a complaint to the International Criminal Court against Prime Minister Hun Sen. It follows the government's crackdown on striking factory workers last week that left at least four dead. Sam Balitha reports from the Cambodian capital.
The International Criminal Court, the ICC, prosecutes individuals for genocide, crimes against humanity and war crimes. Cambodia's opposition party wants to use it to prosecute the Prime Minister Hun Sen over violent clashes last week that left at least four people dead. It's an ambitious ploy, and one that many are saying is unlikely to be successful.
I think the crackdowns, the violent crackdowns and the history of violence by this government grossly violated human rights, but I doubt that the ICC will take the case.
That's Virak U, president of the Cambodia Centre for Human Rights. Mr. U believes the strategy will ultimately undermine the objectives of the opposition Cambodia National Rescue Party, the CNRP.
I think CNRP is best hope is actually with the Cambodian people. There's a lot of momentum. There's a lot of discontent for the current government. And people do want change. People do want reforms. And I think the best hope is actually to get the people on board, to get the people active and involved in a peaceful manner. I think that was the best hope for the CNRP to push the agenda.
The CNRP has been leading rallies and strikes to call for a new election, claiming the last one in July was illegitimate because of fraud and other irregularities. In recent weeks, the opposition and anti-government protesters joined thousands of garment workers who'd been demanding the government double their monthly minimum wage. Deadly violence erupted last Friday when police fired shots to disperse the crowd. Opposition leader Sam Rainsy says his supporters won't be intimidated.
Now we are working on the diplomatic front, on the commercial front, on the legal front. We are in touch with union and worker organization all over the world to condemn violence on workers and to help workers achieve their goal, their demand of $160 a month as a minimum wage.
But Mr. U from the Cambodia Centre for Human Rights says the government's hardline response has already started to affect people's expectations for government reform.
I was so enthusiastic, I was so energetic, and I was positive in the past 5 months or so, a few weeks before the election and after the elections. There seems to be momentum for real change, for real reforms. That's been crashed in the past few days.
Questions are now being asked about whether the opposition should continue its calls for fresh elections or instead push for key concessions and compromises from the government. And for the government of Hun Sen, they'll be hoping they don't have another Arab Spring on their hands.
The war of words between Papua New Guinea's opposition leader Beldon Namar and Prime Minister Peter O'Neill came to a standoff this week after Mr. O'Neill succeeded in blocking moves to have arrest warrants served on him and two of his senior ministers. Mr. O'Neill has directed Police Commissioner Tom Kalunga to start investigations into how due processes have been sidestepped and the involvement of police officers to topple his government. At a press conference earlier this week, Mr. O'Neill said rogue police officers within the police force are being directed by opposition leader Belda Nama to conduct a kangaroo court in breach of proper processes. Prime Minister Peter O'Neill speaks next to Kanaha Sabapathy.
I have gone on press basically to warn the police commissioner and the police that they are failing their duty to effect execute the warrants of arrest on the Prime Minister and the Treasurer and the Defence Minister. And I have given them the ultimatum to do so within 72 hours. Failure to do so, I have instructed my lawyers to institute a contempt of court proceedings against them. Because this is a high-profile corruption case in our country, in Papua New Guinea.
Yesterday afternoon, Prime Minister O'Neill held a press conference to respond. Firstly, he had this to say about Mr. Nama.
You cannot go around arresting the Prime Minister of a country on a forged letter. What kind of a joke is that? Now, Belda Nama needs to be a bit more responsible. He's an alternative Prime Minister of this country. Determination to become Prime Minister of this country at any cost is a concern to every thinking Papua New Guinea. This is another attempt to try and stage a coup to try and overthrow a legitimate government. By trying to arrest the Prime Minister, by trying to arrest senior ministers of government, by an opposition leader who is leading the smallest number of members of parliament in opposition since independence.
Mr. O'Neill then laid out his response to the warrant issued against him.
Some rogue policemen within the police department handling this file without the jurisdiction of them and been allocated this file to handle. They are not investigating officers of these files. That responsibility lies with the task force. They have not taken into commands given to by their superiors as required in the discipline organization like the police force. This cannot continue. That is why today we have successfully sought a stay order on those bench warrants. That has been stayed now. And I want to inform the nation that I have also instructed the police commissioner to investigate all parties, including Belda Nama, for his role. The way he goes about inducing and contacting police men and women and contacting members of the defense force to try and meet his political agenda. Now, we are going to extend this investigation not only on these particular issues, where police officers who are not responsible for files are running around trying to make arrests on investigations that are going on. I have said this before. Nobody is above the law. That includes the Prime Minister. No citizen of this country is above the law. But it must be done with due care, with the national interest at heart, at a good image for our country, so that there is a perception that is building out there that we don't respect our rule of law in this country. We must make sure that we do all things in a proper way. The task force SWIP is already handling that case. They will make the announcements and make the necessary arrest as and when they conclude their investigation.
Papua New Guinea's Prime Minister Peter O'Neill speaking with Kanaha Sabapathy. The brother of an Indian student who was brutally bashed in Melbourne late last year says he's concerned the incident has left his brother in immigration limbo. Manraj Winder Singh has serious brain injuries because of the attack. He has now emerged from an induced coma, but his condition remains serious. His family says they are unsure what will happen to a 20-year-old once he is well enough to leave hospital. Catherine Grau has more from Melbourne.
More than a week after a night out with two friends left him in intensive care, Manraj Winder Singh's condition has only improved slightly.
He's still in the jaws of death.
The 20-year-old accounting student's brother, Yadwinder Singh, has remained at his side. Police say the trio was approached by a group of teenagers as they waited for a train at about 4 a.m. on December 29th, after a night out at the Melbourne casino. Manraj Winder Singh was kicked in the head and hit with a stick, while his friend was also hurt, and the third managed to run for help. Detective Senior Constable Adam Foley.
Obviously, it's an opportunistic crime. They've seen two vulnerable victims who were simply minding their own business.
His brother is somewhat more uncertain.
I can't figure it out. It's a racially motivated or it's a robbery thing. It's an opportunistic crime.
Police have charged three teenagers over the attack. They say they're members of a gang called KYR, or Kill Your Rivals. Gautam Gupta is a senior figure in Melbourne's Indian community. He says concerns are being raised with him over media reports the gang is targeting people of Indian appearance.
What's the police action plan? What is police going to do about it? How can the community help them?
Victoria Police wouldn't comment as the matter is before court, but it's a sensitive issue for the Melbourne Indian community. Just 3 years ago, Victoria's head of police admitted that crime against Indians was a real issue and some attacks were racially motivated. But the force has been adamant it has been working hard to tackle the problem. Meanwhile, a former local mayor and councillor, who himself is of Indian origin, Tim Singh Lawrence, says the incident has raised concerns about what support is provided to international students that fall victim to such attacks.
There isn't really a system of support for them when these events occur. I know from my work as a councillor in the northern suburbs that the victims of crime system doesn't provide enough support for any victims of crime. But when you're an international student, you don't have access to the welfare system and other aspects of the system here, you're doubly disadvantaged. So it seems that we haven't learnt the lessons from the last 5 or 6 years about how to supply support to students in these kind of situations.
Munraj Windersingh's family says he faces months of rehabilitation and they're now worried about what will happen to his student visa if he can't pass the required medical test.
I'm really worried about his future. I don't know, even if he lives in Australia, so it would be really hard because the procedure for the international student he was following, it's pretty difficult for him now.
A spokesman for the Immigration Minister, Scott Morrison, said provisions are in place for such circumstances to help ensure foreign students don't breach their visa conditions.
And with that, we end this edition of Focus Asia Pacific. For more information on the region, visit our website www.pcjmedia.com/FAP. Stay tuned to PCJ Radio International because coming up in a few minutes is a special live edition of Media Network Plus. For PCJ Radio International, I'm Andy Sennett.
India. Mysterious and mythical. Its culture can only be described as incredible. For more information on India, its sites and its culture, visit www.incredibleindia.org. That's www.incredibleindia.org.
A funny thing's been missing from air travel recently. It's called customer service. And it's not just about saying welcome aboard and see you again soon. It's about understanding why you fly. It's about the hundreds of hours of training we go through before we even step on board a plane. It's the way we prepare the cabin and each other before every flight. It's about how we say hello. Whether it's the 30th time you've flown with us or the first, we are over 10,000 strong in 90 destinations around the world. We are China Airlines, and we blossom for you every day.
Hi, I'm Peter Anthony Holder, and I would like you to join me for a very eclectic and different kind of radio show. It's called the Stuff File Program. Where else would you get to hear a well-renowned Hollywood acting teacher, a best-selling science fiction writer, a guy who teaches llamas how to be golf caddies, or the man who has Hitler's toilet, all wrapped up with some of the oddest news stories around? It's a rhetorical question. There's only one place. The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. There are various ways to catch the show. You can find it at my website at peteranthonyholder.com. Check out my blog at peteranthonyholder.blogspot.com. Find it at cyberstationusa.com, radioforall.net, or simply subscribe to it on iTunes. You've forgotten all those places already, haven't you? Okay, just Google the title. It's called The Stuff File Program, and stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. Catch it, enjoy it, and have a chuckle or two. The Stuff File Program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Radio will never be the same again.
Hi, this is Bob Zanotti. Do you miss Swiss Radio International? If so, I invite you to visit my website, SwitzerlandInSound.com. Colorful and informative radio features about Switzerland, its destinations, interesting people, politics, culture, and even the two Bobs, SwitzerlandInSound.com, where English language radio from Switzerland lives on.
This is PCJ Radio International.
On shortwave, satellite, and the internet, this is Media Network Plus.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. This is the first time that we are actually doing the show live. We're broadcasting right now to North America on 11880 and to listeners in Port Moresby in Papua New Guinea on the Radio Australia FM frequency of 101.9 FM. It's very nice to have you with me today. Now, before we get to the things that we have on today's show, I just want to tell you that we are giving away a little prize. It's not a radio. It's something else. It is radio-related. It's from a radio station. In fact, actually, it's from Radio Free Asia. We have a really nice coffee mug from Radio Free Asia and a couple of pins that they issued for the Olympic Games, the last Olympic Games. Now, if you want to have a chance to win this, just send us an email with your name and phone number to pcjcontest@gmail.com. That's pcjcontest@gmail.com. I hope that you're getting good reception in North America. And before we get to our first item today, I want to talk a bit about a moment on something related to us. People are asking, you know, how do we do the program live? Well, I should tell you right now that when you're hearing my voice, you're hearing it around 16 seconds after I speak. Now, this is actually how we're doing it. I'm actually not at our office right now. I'm actually at home. In fact, I'm only like 2 meters away from my kitchen, 2 meters away from my living room, 4 meters away from my bathroom and bedroom. And the reason is because modern technology in doing radio. I remember 20 years ago when I was in Montreal, I used to do a morning show. And so many times I was wishing that I could just wake up, walk to my own home studio and do the show that way instead of having to drive an hour into the city. But of course, nowadays, you can do this kind of thing. So what's happening now is my voice, of course, is going through a microphone. Some of you may say, you're using something as modern as a microphone. Yes, we are. It's going through a microphone, going through a mixer, going to one computer, which is only about a meter away. It's taking the audio and digitizing it. That signal is being fed by a T1 connection to our office, which is around 3 kilometers away. From there, our master control room is taking that audio and then converting it to another format with a special IP number that the relay in Okeechobee, Florida is clicking on and receiving the audio. The same goes for the relay on FM in Port Moresby. That's how it's being done. There's about a 16-second delay for that whole process to take place. The kilobytes for audio that we're running at is 80 kilobytes, which is, it doesn't sound like a lot, but there is a reason for running it at that bit rate. Now, a number of weeks ago, actually about 2 months ago, we did one audio stream test and we were running at, I think it was 320, which sounds fantastic. From our end, we had no problem. But the problem, of course, is the person or the relay station at the other end receiving the audio. If their internet connection is not great, that is a problem. So we lowered it, and hopefully, at some point in the future, we will increase it again to put it up a little bit higher, especially when we start streaming our programs live on the internet. Anyway, good morning to everyone, and I hope you're having a nice coffee today. I do, before we get to our first item today, I want to say a shout-out to two people listening right now that contacted me just a few moments ago. First, Sumaya, all the way in India, who's listening via a remote receiver through the website Global Tuners. And also to our good friend, Stephen Mason. Stephen Mason in the United States. So, Stephen, thank you for, you know, letting us, you know, tuning in today. And hopefully you'll be able to tune in tomorrow. Once again, the email address to enter the contest to win that nice Radio Free Asia mug and those nice two pins is pcjcontest@gmail.com. Now, we're not going to be announcing the winner today. We will be announcing the winner tomorrow on Happy Station. In fact, tomorrow on Happy Station, we're giving away a radio that is, well, so many people are talking about it right now because it is a new radio from Texan, the PL880. So tune in tomorrow to find out how to win. And then, of course, we'll announce the winner of today's prize on tomorrow's transmission. All right, let's talk about radio now. One of the big stories that people have been following for a long time is Radio Moscow, or Voice of Russia World Service, or, as they're now calling themselves on air, Radio VR. There was a lot of talk that at the beginning of this year they would, well, completely leave shortwave. Now, they haven't left shortwave. In fact, they're still out there, but they do have a reduced schedule. There have, of course, been a lot of changes taking place in Russia concerning the media landscape. Voice of Russia World Service, it was just announced, has been, quote-unquote, liquidated. I know that sounds overly dramatic, and it's probably not exactly liquidated in the sense that most people would think of, but, you know, the media landscape has changed in Russia, that's for sure. And just about 2 hours ago, our frequency manager, Victor Gunatelica, reminded me of something that, it's a story that I originally heard over 20 years ago from a friend of mine by the name of David Smith. Now, I met David when he was working at Radio Canada International, and he told me this story in the hallway that I never forgot. Now, today you give you a little bit of information about David. David worked in commercial radio in South Africa. He worked at Radio Canada International. He left RCI in 1990, I believe, to go work at Radio Netherlands. After he left Radio Netherlands, he moved back to South Africa, and he worked for United Nations Radio in Africa, and then in New York, and then he went back to South Africa, and has been setting up radio stations in the Democratic Republic of Congo and everything else. But he has a very nice story about Radio Moscow, and I thought that right now, we would take a listen to it now to see if there's anybody out there that can identify with it.
I listened to all kinds of radio. I was 9 years old at the time, and like any shortwave fanatic, you know, I scanned. In fact, it was before scan. They were only analog radios, no digital. So, you know, I'd search the band for whatever I could find. And Radio Moscow had a program that I particularly liked as a nine-year-old because geography was my favorite subject at school. And on Wednesdays on Radio Moscow, they had a program called Round About the Soviet Union. And every Wednesday, that program would describe geographically a region of the USSR. So I found that very interesting, you know. But, you know, for people who wondered why I listened to Radio Moscow, I also listened to Radio Tirana, I listened to the VOA, I listened to Radio Havana Cuba, I listened to KOL Israel, I listened to everything I could find. But let's talk about Radio Moscow. I listened regularly, and my mother, whose family comes from the former Soviet Union, and I should make it even clearer, left when the former Soviet Union came into existence, because they weren't exactly on the winning side in 1917. she didn't like the idea of me listening to Radio Moscow. And I don't want to embarrass my mother. I guess I already have, as this story will illustrate. She was nervous. She thought that anything regarding communism and people in North America, especially who came from that part of the world, would lead to the Mounties, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, having a file on those people. So she came into my room one day where I listened to the radio and said, David, don't listen to that because the Mounties have a file on us. And she truly was nervous about this. This was a long time ago. This was 1969. So I didn't really, she told me I couldn't listen to Radio Moscow, so of course I had to. But I had to find a way to solve the problem, to bring my mother on board. So I did what any shortwave listener does. I wrote to Radio Moscow, and I wrote to them and said, "Dear Radio Moscow, Moscow mailbag, I'm having a problem with my mother. Can you help? She doesn't want me listening to Radio Moscow because she thinks we'll get into some kind of trouble with the local authorities." I'm sure the language I used was much simpler than that. But anyway, I wrote them, and I'm sure this is the kind of letter they love getting in Moscow. Because they answered, as they always did. They always answered. They sent a letter back to me and said, "Dear David, please ask your mother to be by the radio at such and such a time and such a day." Okay, and without telling my mother why, I invited her into my room where the radio was at the designated time, turned on the radio, and there was Vladimir Posner. And, Radio Moscow listeners and people who watch Russia Today will know who Vladimir Posner is. A lot of Americans know him because he was on a popular American talk show for a while. In any case, Vladimir Posner had an answer to my question for my mother. And he said her name on the air. And he said, "Please don't worry about your son, David, listening to Radio Moscow." And he gave our address and names, and I saw my mother changing color, red, green, white. She was terrified, angry. But he continued delivering his message. He said, "You know, the USSR and Canada are two great northern countries. We've got a lot in common, and we work together to create a better life for all," and the usual sort of stuff. And all very positive. It's nation building, friendship building in the north. And my mother was so angry when this was over. "You will never listen to that radio in this house again. We're in big trouble." And that's when I discovered headphones.
David Smith talking about his fun little story concerning Radio Moscow and his mother. I thought, that, of course, that everyone would get a kick out of that. I'm sure that this is the kind of story that the new generation of listeners to shortwave will not have, which is actually quite a bit of a shame. You are listening to a special live edition of Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. Today, we're giving away a couple of coffee mugs from Radio Free Asia and another and nice pins, actually, from them. And if you want to have a chance to win, just send us an email with your name, country, and phone number to pcjcontest@gmail.com. That's pcjcontest@gmail.com. And we will be announcing the winners tomorrow on the Happy Station Show for listeners in North America. That is 11880 kilohertz. And to listeners in East and Southeast Asia, the frequency is 9335 kilohertz. So do tune in. Now, international broadcasting has changed greatly over the last number of years, and I thought today we would have something fun on the show. Now, normally we don't play music here on Media Network Plus, but I thought that today we would make an exception. These are songs and medleys connected to radio. In fact, so connected to radio, they were in fact the interval signals for some well-listened to radio stations. So I'm wondering how many of you out there know these, and if you do, jot them down and let us know if you got them right. Are you ready to go? All right, here is our first one. Thank you.
Good evening. This is Radio Afghanistan presenting its English service to Europe. The time is 22:30 hours Afghan Standard Time, 18 hours Greenwich Mean Time. We are transmitting this program in the frequencies of 17.775 MHz in the 16-meter band and 15.265 MHz in the 19-meter band.
You're tuned to Swiss Radio International in Bern. Stay tuned for our programs to Southwest Europe in English, German, French and Italian on 15.315 MHz.
Swiss Radio International.
This is the Voice of America Breakfast Show.
Aquí, RAE, Radiodifusión Argentina al Exterior.
Hello, friends. This is RAE, the overseas service of the Argentine National Radio.
Qui RAE, Radiodifusione Argentina all'estero.
أيها الأصدقاء الأحباء, هنا RAE, Radiodifusione Argentina للخارج.
Ici RAE, Radiodiffusion Argentine vers l'extérieur.
Yes, RAE, RAE aus Buenos Aires. Der argentinische internationale Auslandsfunk.
RAI, こちらはアルゼンチン海外向け放送局です.
Oi, amigos, aqui é a RAI, Rádio Difusão Argentina para o Exterior.
This is Radio Anguilla broadcasting from the Valley Anguilla.
It's 6 o'clock. This is Radio Singapore. Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday and the day the 25th of January. You can hear our English service programs from now until we close transmission at midnight on 630 kHz on the medium wave band, 5052 kHz on the 60-meter shortwave band, and 11940 kHz on the 25-meter shortwave band. In addition, you can receive us on 92.4 MHz on the VHF band 2 between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. and from 11 p.m. to midnight.
Thank you.
Volá hlas svobodného Československa, rádio Svobodná Evropa.
Well, of course, that's certainly no surprise. That's the interval signal from Radio Nederland, the Dutch International Service. I'm wondering how many, of course, of you out there listening right now recognized any of those. If there's one, of course, or if you recognize all of them, do let us know at the email for the show, mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. Just want to remind you again that we're giving away a couple of coffee mugs from Radio Free Asia and some nice pins from them that they issued a few years ago for the last Winter and Summer Olympics. And to enter that contest, just send us an email with your name, country, to pcjcontest@gmail.com. That's pcjcontest@gmail.com. The current time is coming up to, well, it is now actually, 13:07 UTC. And we're now going to go to our propagation editor, Dan Hensley, all the way in Chicago, Illinois. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Keith, and all of our Media Network Plus listeners the world around. I'm happy to join you here on the first live edition of Media Network Plus.
Now, Dan, you of course, you're the propagation guy, and you know, I'm still waiting for the day where you say everything's going to be great next week, but it turns out to be lousy. I'm still waiting for that. But what can we expect, actually, over the next 7 days?
Well, actually, propagation is probably going to be off and on as far as atmospheric signal quality, because we have had a major X-flare recently, and over the last couple years of watching the sun, what we've learned is that we see the sun wane, and then we see things like this happen where we have all this activity and we have major sun flares that affect propagation. And as the sun sort of goes between being active and then settling, we see this pattern where propagation is good for a while in some parts of the world, and in others at the same time, not so good. So we're going to see that back and forth wane this week. You should hear that on the all the specific numbers on my forecast later on.
Right, and of course there is a web page at the PCJ website. Just go to pcjmedia.com, and on the top menu you'll see radio propagation. And Dan usually updates that. What time do you update it? On Sundays, right?
Yes, on Sundays, usually just before the clock strikes midnight into Monday morning.
All right. We still have actually a little bit of time before we end off. What else do you have for us today?
Well, QST magazine, published by the American Radio Relay League, recently published an article called Virtual Radar from a Digital TV Dongle, written by Mr. Robert Nichols. His call sign is W9RAN. And here he talks about how to track aircraft by reprogramming an inexpensive digital TV USB stick to receive automatic dependent surveillance broadcast signals, otherwise known to AVID radio listeners as ADS-B. And he says it is now possible to track aircraft within a 100-mile radius and plot their positions on a real-time display for only $25, or around that. There's a caveat, however, he says. The tracked aircraft must employ a special ADS-B transmitter that continually transmits the aircraft's flight parameters. The majority of all aircraft flying in U.S. airspace will not be required to use the system till about 2020, according to this article.
Right.
And he says, so while you probably can't track that Piper Cub buzzing your neighborhood on a Sunday afternoon, there is still plenty of fun to be had, and you won't even need to heat up your soldering iron. All you need to do is obtain an inexpensive DVB-T stick that plugs into a computer's USB connector. This type of device is often referred to as a dongle. And
you know,
all you
when
have to
you
do is download some free software.
When you say dongle, Dan, I don't know why that just sounds quite rude.
Oh, it's too early in the morning for this.
Okay, Dan, look, we are running out of time. We have to go to Switzerland and sound in a few moments. We'll cover this actually a little bit more on our regular program. So thank you for getting up early today and speaking with us.
Thank you for having me. And, hey, everybody's been great to be here, and I hope you've enjoyed the show. It's been a pleasure.
All right, Dan, thanks a lot. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's Dan Hensley, our propagation editor. Well, you guess what? We are actually out of time because coming up in a few moments will be Bob Zanotti and Switzerland in Sound. Once again, if you want to have a chance to win one of those Radio Free Asia mugs and pins, the email address is pcjcontest@gmail.com. That's pcjcontest@gmail.com. The email to the program to let us know what reception is like and to send us a reception report is very simple. Simple. Simply simple. Yes, it is. PCJQSL@PCJmedia.com. That's PCJQSL@PCJmedia.com. Coming up next, Switzerland in Sound with Bob Zanotti. It's been fun being here. We'll see you all again very soon. 73 and 88 to the ladies.
Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
First of all, let me wish you and yours a very happy new year and good health in 2014. Wow, just to see and say that figure sends chills down my spine. Where's the time gone? Or as someone recently quipped, quite inelegantly but graphically, life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. The transition into 2014 went well in this house. We're fortunate to have all the extended family living close by, so we had a full house during the entire Christmas-New Year season. As a matter of fact, we just said goodbye to my oldest daughter and her family after they spent 2 days with us here in the Emmental. Her children still have another week off from school, so they'll be back again later this week for a few more days. Weather-wise, it wasn't a classic white Christmas, but it was still cold, and we did have a little snow above the village, and of course in the high mountains. The snow did arrive in a big way on the 26th. Since then, we've had more of the white stuff, although much of it has since disappeared. My morning walks in the hills with the dog bring peace and serenity as I look out onto the rolling hills of the Emmental and the majesty of the Bernese Alps, which are etched against the red-orange sky as the sun rises behind them. There's no charge for this, at least not yet. A few minutes ago, I caught the beginning of the German-Swiss TV news. It didn't start with the suffering and misery and the usual trouble spots on this planet, but rather with the lamentations of the Swiss winter sports resorts and cable car operators, who are complaining of a slow start to the season despite excellent snow conditions. The big issue? lagging business, especially among young people. At one time, I can well remember, the youngsters with their snowboards were heralded as the saviors of the Swiss winter sports industry. But now, these saviors are not coming back in the numbers expected. The obvious question is, why not? For me, the obvious reason is because it's too expensive to do winter sports in Switzerland. It's as simple as that. If you're a regular follower of the Letter from Switzerland and Swiss Political Roundup, it will come as no surprise to you that, in my opinion, and I'm not alone, the cost of everything in this country has gone out of control. The prevailing atmosphere of greed in our world has also had its effect on Switzerland, where rip-off prices were already part of Swiss business tradition. It only just got worse. I don't want to belabor the point, but the fact is, the key elements of the Swiss tourism industry, hotels, restaurants, and ski lifts, have become so expensive that ordinary people cannot afford them. For many years now, many winter sports enthusiasts have quit the Swiss slopes and gone to neighboring countries, where the snow is just as good, but the prices are much lower. The sad fact is, Switzerland has lost much of its mystique as a popular winter sports destination, except for the rich, who seem to be the new target of Swiss tourism operators. Switzerland was long the playground of the jet set, but also of ordinary people. But in recent years, the soaring prices in the Swiss tourism and restaurant industries in general have become prohibitive for many of the traditional visitors, especially those from the UK, US, Germany, and the Benelux countries. But equally sad is the fact that the Swiss tourism industry is doing virtually nothing to correct this problem. In a letter to the director of Switzerland Tourism, this country's official and publicly supported tourism advocacy organization, I outlined the problem as I'm outlining it to you, and added that there was obvious reluctance to wake up the tourism community and give them a stern lecture about the need to reform their greedy ways. I concluded that I didn't expect a reply, and of course, I didn't get one, because they were happy to be let off the hook and go back into denial. So as we enter the winter sports season of 2014, we see no tangible change in the attitude of the Swiss winter sports industry, which moans so painfully and loudly about its self-inflicted misfortune. But instead of making an effort to lower prices to make Switzerland more attractive, the attitude of the Swiss tourism industry is one of arrogance, smugness, and intransigence. Their formula is to ignore the problem in the hope it will go away, and to continue to justify high prices with the argument that Swiss quality has its price. The fact is, you can find the same standard of accommodation and services in other countries, but at a lower price. Swiss tourism circles also insist on continuing with their strategy that the Swiss themselves, as well as the nouveau riche of Asia and Eastern Europe, will make up the shortfall. That works up to a point, but I can't see it working forever. It all depends on how long it will take before the Swiss tourism and restaurant industries wake up and realize that the old tricks and excuses don't work anymore. Just don't hold your breath. I'm in Switzerland's largest city, Zurich, and Zurich is located on a lake. It's called the Lake of Zurich, logically enough. There's also a river here, which is part of the lake system, we can say. It's directly connected with it, and that's the River Limmat. And for many, many years, I think as long as anybody I can remember anyway, there is a classic attraction here among so many in Switzerland's largest city, as you can imagine. It is
cruises that you can take on the river and also the lake. And there's a new dimension. You can even have an aperitif doing it. Really enjoy the high life in Zurich. And to tell us about it is Maurus Lauber of the Zurich Tourist Office. Mr. Lauber, what would you say are the highlights of a cruise on the Limmat and the Lake of Zurich?
It's a fantastic thing to enjoy the city from the waterside and not from the walking or car side. The river is really in the center of the city, and the boat brings you, with a glass roof, brings you under seven bridges from the railway station and the National Museum to the lake, where you have a small cruise on the lake and you will have a fantastic view to the mountainside, and then you come back. It's really a great way to explore the city.
Now, you mentioned a glass roof boat, so in other words, you're independent of the weather. Even if it unfortunately might rain, you could still take the cruise.
Yes, you can take the cruise, and you are very, very close to all the most sites we have in Zurich, like the Grossmünster, the different churches, the beautiful houses, the National Museum. Everything is very close, built to the water, and from the riverboat, you have a beautiful view to those sites.
I wouldn't exaggerate and say this is like Venice in terms of the water penetration around the city, but there is an enormous number of locations that can be reached by the lake or by the river. You're not missing much from the boat at all, are you?
No, you don't. And it's a very, very cheap way to travel around, as the boat is included in every public transportation ticket. If it's a Swiss pass or a Zurich pass or just an ordinary ticket for the city of Zurich, the boat is included. You don't have to pay high supplements or special prices like Amsterdam, Paris or other cities. No, it's really a part of the public transportation, and a lot of locals are enjoying that boat to go from one side of the lake to the other, or to go from the railway station to the lake. Instead of taking a tram or a bus, they take the boat.
We're talking about a scheduled service, a regular service here.
We do, and the boat doesn't run just every 2 hours. It runs every half an hour from the railway station to the lake and back.
Now, we said before that you can have a cocktail, an aperitif, as we prefer to say here in Europe. How does that work?
We have this offer every Saturday evening to enjoy a beautiful weekend. So we start at 6 o'clock from the tourist office and have a special river cruise, as there is a professional guide on board, and the guide will inform the guests about the highlights, about the sites, about the history of the city. We have a beautiful tour on the lake, and at the end we will stop at a very luxury hotel, the only one which is directly at the river, and there on the terrace we will have a beautiful cocktail, so the people are getting ready for a beautiful Saturday night evening with dining and partying.
And how long do these cruises last?
It takes about 1.5 hours, from 6 o'clock to 7:30, then after cocktail, and then you're ready for dining and for partying.
Now, we said that you can be independent of the weather because you're under glass, so you don't have to worry about rain. But what would you say, in your experience, are the classic times of the year to do these cruises?
I recommend to do any river cruise or boat cruise in Switzerland from May to September, October, when you have a beautiful view to the mountains, the water is clear. Imagine the water of the lake and the river have drinking water quality, so you could even swim around and enjoy the whole city. But I recommend to do it by boat. It's really much more relaxing from May to September, October.
Well, cruises are in worldwide, and so come to landlocked Switzerland and enjoy a cruise on the Lake of Zurich and the River Limmat. Thanks very much, Maurus Lauber of the Zurich Tourist Office, for telling us all about these cruises. From Zurich, for Switzerland in Sound, this is Bob Zanotti.
If you want more information about Switzerland in Sound, check them out online at www.switzerlandinsound.com. India, mysterious and mythical. Its culture can only be described as incredible. For more information on India, its sites, and its culture, visit www.incredibleindia.org. That's www.incredibleindia.org.
A funny thing's been missing from air travel recently. It's called customer service. And it's not just about saying welcome aboard and see you again soon. It's about understanding why you fly. It's about the hundreds of hours of training we go through before we even step on board a plane. It's the way we prepare the cabin and each other before every flight. It's about how we say hello, whether it's the 30th time you've flown with us or the first. We are over 10,000 strong in 90 destinations around the world. We are China Airlines, and we blossom for you every day.
You are listening to a program in English from PCJ Radio International, broadcasting to listeners in North America on 11880 kilohertz and to listeners in Port Moresby in Papua New Guinea on 101.9 FM. We're going to be wishing you farewell to listeners in North America in about 4 minutes from now. Listeners in Port Moresby who are listening on FM will get another additional hour of PCJ Radio International. Coming up at 14:30 UTC, you can catch another edition of Focus Asia Pacific with Andy Sennett. This will be followed by the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. And that's for listeners in Port Moresby in Papua New Guinea. If you wish to receive a QSL from us, this is how you can do it. Our email address is pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. That's pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. Our snail mail address is PCJ Radio International, 8th floor, number 47, Lane 31, Sanmin Road, Section 1, New Taipei City, Banqiao, Taiwan, 22070, and that's in the ROC. If you want to listen or download any programs from PCJ Radio International, you can visit our website at any time at www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com. The current time is 13:27 UTC. You're listening to PCJ Radio International. Now time for a little music to bring us to the bottom of the hour. Jeffrey Love and the theme to Doctor Who. Thank you.
Thank you.